One ubiquitous image of the Christmas season is the angel. We know where to look for these angels: on top of the Christmas tree, hovering over the nativity scene, blowing their trumpets on seasonal greeting cards. Such angels, dressed in white and soaring on feathery wings from realms of glory, are familiar and welcome figures. We like them because they remind us that we are surrounded by an invisible host that wonders and rejoices with us at the mystery of Christ's incarnation. We cannot see these angels, but it is comforting to know they are there, joining in our prayers, gazing at the throne of God, crowned with unfading light. But today, St. Stephen's Day, we look past the nativity dioramas and chipper greeting cards. The merriment of Christmas still smolders in our hearts, but the scene has changed. It is no longer a precious infant, a radiant virgin mother, kneeling shepherds and magi. It is a moment in which we see no divine intervention, no happy reversal. We see instead a good man battered to death by the stones of the wicked. We see Stephen. A chill seeps into our Christmas jubilation as we contemplate this discomforting tableau. Where now is the comfort of the angels, their feathery wings and shining faces? Why move so swiftly from the bliss of the Holy Family to the torment of the martyrs, from the felicity of divine birth to the pain of an unmerited death? As the church's first deacon and first martyr, Stephen is prototypical, even archetypal. And it is here under these names of deacon and martyr that we find the reason for December 26th. The Greek word deacon means one who serves. And in the book of Acts, we read that the apostles found 7 honest men to oversee the distribution of charity and ordained them deacons. It was the root of this word, to serve, that Jesus used to describe those who would be great in the kingdom of heaven in the Gospel of Mark. The deacon is the humble one, the one who, imitating Christ, lowers himself to the form of a servant. We find today in Stephen a picture of what it means to follow the example of Jesus Christ, what it means to be born again into his likeness. He becomes a deacon, ordained to the ministry of service. Like Jesus, he performs signs and wonders to announce the arrival of the kingdom of God. The word martyr means witness. Stephen embraces the pattern of his Lord in death as well as in life. He is denounced by his own community, the Hellenistic synagogues of Jerusalem. He dies, proclaiming the gospel he was given and asking forgiveness for his murderers. His blood witnesses to the blood of Christ. But he is something more too. The secret of St. Stephen is illustrated by his name, Stephanos, crown. Stephen wears a crown of light in the account of the book of Acts. St. Luke tells us that Stephen's face shone like an angel's when he was dragged before the Sanhedrin. His face was like Moses when he had descended from Mount Sinai, having peered into the mysteries of heaven. Stephen is a true deacon. The Greek phrase deacon of God referred to a heavenly emissary, an angel. As we see in the revelation of St. John, hosts of angels wait upon God in the divine throne room, crowned with light and fragrant with incense. These are God's servants, his deacons. Stephen may not fly from realms of glory on feathery wings, but in serving the poor, Stephen is in some way serving in the throne room of God. Stephen is also a true martyr, a true witness. The glory of the Father blazes out in the sight of his persecutors. He is a mirror. The mirror sees not itself, but what it reflects. As his murderers pick up stones to destroy him, Stephen sees into that throne room whose glory fills his face. He sees the Son of Man at God's right hand. And then we see that the crown of light, the glory of the Father borne by Jesus, is also his crown of thorns, his crown of bloody roses, his crown of martyrdom. Let us remember, too, that it is not only angels that St. John sees in his revelation, shining in the courts of heaven. It is the martyrs. The whole story of the way of the cross is reflected in the life and death of St. Stephen, both its sorrowful trial and its ultimate glory. So when we turn our gaze from the Christmas angel on the top of the tree, or hovering over the nativity scene, or blowing his trumpet on seasonal greeting cards, to the humility of St. Stephen and those like him, we find ourselves beholding other emissaries of God. These messengers, these angels, are more visible to us, but can be even harder to notice until that moment when they are proved, and their glory, the glory of Christ, is a crown upon their heads. There is no sentimentality in the story of Stephen, no feathery wings and reassuring smiles, no false triumph. But through the darkness of a world in which death awaits its final destruction, this story too offers comfort. It tells us there are others who join in our prayers. There are others who gaze at the throne of God and are wreathed in secret light. They are those who imitate Jesus Christ in his humility. They are those who serve faithfully, gentle, and often unseen. As we sit, therefore, the day after Christmas, in a church dedicated to St. Stephen, let us remember everything to which he bore angelic witness in his life and death, the way of Christ, the meaning of the Incarnation. Like him, we weave our crown of thorns. We wrap about our heads the red roses of holy suffering and the white roses of pure living. Christ is born in us, and he is light. Look here into the throne room of God and behold him. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.